Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Count. Oh, it's count out. You do it now.
Oh, sorry. I'll start over then.
Steve here.
No, hey, friendo.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson, and welcome to Going In Raw Count Out, the only countdown show here on Steven Larson YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Steven Larson.
Correct.
Home of Going In Raw.
Yes.
The podcast.
Yes.
About wrestling stuff.
Correct. Yes. We're available, as you said, here on YouTube. Hit the subscribe and notify button. We're also available wherever fine podcasts can be found. We're all over the place. I know we're... Last I heard, so like we're back on Google Play.
Yeah.
I don't know how these things work. I really don't. What I did notice on Google Play is that there is a before Going In Raw podcast, and then there is a new Going In Raw podcast that has updates.
Yes.
That has the updated ones.
There's one that's called Going In Raw Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah.
That's the old one.
Yeah.
New one is just Going In Raw.
Yeah. So go with that one.
Yeah.
This is CastBox Original. So this is a process. We're switching servers. We're also, speaking of CastBox, we're on CastBox. We have a great partnership with them.
Yes.
So we encourage you to check out the CastBox podcast app.
Yes, please.
We're also on, ooh, it's a pro wrestling tee sale.
Oh yeah.
Right now, 20% off all of our designs.
Use code Mania.
Yeah. Mania. It's the big WrestleMania sale. 20% off. We have got a bunch of great shirts.
Hopefully some new ones up by then, too.
Maybe. I have to email some people. We're also on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. It's a fantastic way to support Going In Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Kick us a couple bucks, and we'll give you some stuff in return. That's
yes,
how it works.
That's how it works.
Capitalism at its finest.
Yeah.
And you're supporting a good show, we hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah. If you're watching it, hopefully you like
Sometimes I wonder.
Larson, what's going on tomorrow?
Oh, WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is tomorrow. Takeovers tonight. WrestleMania is tomorrow. And because of that... We decided to do a count out based on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Novel concept.
Yeah, I know. Very original.
Nobody else is doing this.
Ever. So, you know, WrestleMania is known for the spectacle.
Yeah, true.
But I think to a lot of fans, for WrestleMania moments, it's wrestlers getting an opportunity to do something magical or
mm-hmm.
special
yeah.
or shocking,
shocking
on the largest stage in them all. So today we're going to talk about WrestleMania moments, specifically the most shocking
mm-hmm.
WrestleMania moments.
The thing that I like about this list is that we went with the, because they're shocking moments, they're basically unpredictable moments.
Uh-huh.
Moments that happened and left people going, whoa, did not see that happening.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming. So we'll just kick it off with number 10.
10.
Number 10.
10.
The Hardys return.
We kind of saw this one maybe coming. They were free from their Impact obligations. However, they were wrestling for Ring of Honor at the time, or just prior to this, and they made it seem like they were going to stick around a Ring of Honor for a while, but they did have, like, a tailgate party or autograph signing in Orlando the morning, early afternoon of WrestleMania. So they were in town, plus they wrestled at Supercard of Honor the previous night, so it wasn't a complete surprise that they were there. Nonetheless, how they were introduced, there was a match... For the tag titles, the New Day, who were hosting Mania last year, came up on stage and said, you know, paraphrasing, this match is great, but, you know, maybe there's room for one more team, leading people to believe the New Day were going to get involved. And instead, they kind of stepped aside. You heard the Hardys music kick on, and out they come.
So
and the place exploded.
So here's the thing. If you're, like, nerds like us, it was still surprising.
Oh, yeah.
If I recall correctly, my general feeling towards it was... I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And I think even in our lead up, we weren't like some things were like, you know, oh, well, this guy signed. We've heard spoilers or we've heard reports he's going to become. And like it's practically guaranteed stuff. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, OK, well, we know this guy has signed. Well, with the Hardys, we figured that it could be a possibility. Jeff Hardy had tried some misdirection, I think, days before, said that he had signed like a year long contract with Ring of Honor. And so when it actually happened to us, to people who were like knee deep in the dirt sheets type stuff,
mm-hmm.
it was still fairly surprising, if not shocking. I imagine to the vast majority of people, the pop was massive when it happened. And so this was definitely shocking for people who aren't really knee-deep in that stuff.
Yeah, aren't quite, you know, check the dirt sheets on a regular basis.
They aren't in tune with contractual statuses and whatnot. Yes. So this was a fairly shocking moment, I think, for most people. And it was a beautiful one. I mean, who would have thought just like, you know, what, days before, a week before they were taking on the Young Bucks for those Ring of Honor championships or the tag titles there. And then they were winning the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships right there on the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah.
The Hardys. It was great to see them back. I still have yet to watch the WrestleMania 24 they did where it shows them sort of sneaking in and
I need to check that out
and all
too.
That kind of stuff. So I'd like to see that. But yeah, the Hardys coming back. You know, it had been rumored that, you know, at one point Vince really wanted Jeff, and then when the Final Deletion stuff happened, he really wanted both of them. And so it seemed like it might have been inevitable, but you just never know. Like, these things kind of fall apart. Like, look at Rey Mysterio. He came back at the Rumble. There were talks that he was in a deal. He busted his arm. He starts, you know, dilly-dallying with New Japan. And now we hear that maybe there's a deal, maybe not.
We don't know.
So, anyways, that's a good one. Number nine.
Nine.
Chris Benoit beats The Click. He did this to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
At the conclusion of WrestleMania 20.
That's right. And it led to one of the, I remember being very emotionally shocked by this, if you will, because it's the most shocking list. The sight of him and Eddie Guerrero, two firmly WCW guys. Two guys that we knew inside and out because of WCW. Yeah. Chris Benoit beat the two of the most protected guys in the history of the WWE, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, in a brilliant.
Yeah, it was a fantastic match.
Brilliant triple threat, maybe the best triple threat we've ever seen in the WWE. Benoit went over, won the title, and him and Guerrero stood in the middle of the ring. And to see the expressions on their faces, to see how they looked at each other, they were both in awe of the moment, and everybody who had followed these guys, they were not Vince guys.
No.
And that's what made this so shocking. These guys were standing in the ring, confetti falling down, with the two biggest prizes in the company.
Yes. Like in all of wrestling at that point.
In all of wrestling, yeah. If it was like the IC and the US title, it would have been like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But this was these were the biggest titles in the company.
Yeah.
And like you said, in wrestling. So, that was definitely a shocking moment.
Yes.
Number eight.
Eight.
Hulk Hogan beats Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9.
So let's do a little backstory.
Not all these are great, shocking. Some of them are just pretty baffling.
Lousy. This one is completely lousy.
This is very baffling.
Hogan didn't want to step aside and let Bret Hart become top guy in WWF at the time.
Right.
Hogan's
the worst.
The scheduled
man.
Main event of WrestleMania 9 was Bret taking on Yokozuna for the WWF Championship.
Mm-hmm.
However, I guess Hogan had other ideas. So the match happened. Bret lost the title and the match because Mr. Fuji threw powder in his face.
Before you continue.
What?
How was this Hogan's business at all? Yoko beat Bret.
Yeah.
And then Hogan came in.
Yeah.
And beat Yoko.
Well, hold on. Hogan came in under the idea, at least, that he was protesting the injustice he had just seen.
Yeah.
Where Yokozuna cheated to win, and to right this wrong, he decided to win the title for himself. And it was like less than 30 seconds. I believe it was boot, leg drop, 1, 2, 3.
And this is because Hogan didn't want to lose the title to Bret because he thought Bret was too small.
Something like that.
Why did Vince indulge this then?
Because I wonder if he still thought Hogan was money.
If he wanted the belt on... So is the idea that Hogan convinced Bret... I'm sorry, Hogan convinced Vince that Bret wasn't money and that he could have one last reign? Because this was the last time Hogan had that title till he came back. It was about... So King of the Ring, I think, was... what year was...
It was the following... was it that June?
The following...
Yeah, it was the following June. So 2 months later.
At like the weakest like pay-per-view, King of the Ring, where Yokozuna beat Hogan, not surprised by cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan drops the belt, leaves the company.
Yeah.
Which sets up, that's right, WrestleMania 10, which is where Yoko takes on Luger first.
And then Brett.
And then Brett.
And then Brett gets the title from Yokozuna.
So eventually Brett got the title from Yokozuna.
Well, Brett carried the title into this match. And he lost it to Yokozuna.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Brett had already, yeah.
So I wonder if Hogan didn't want to have a match against Brett here.
Yeah, okay.
And lose.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it was.
That's so weird, though.
Yeah, I know.
Why wasn't Vince at that point just like, go, you know? I mean, maybe he just wanted a big surprise. I don't know. I'm sure there's a story about it somewhere out there. But yeah, it was shocking, but just in a baffling way.
Yeah.
Like you said, I love the way you put it. Hogan decided to right this wrong by winning the title himself. It didn't. And he was wondering why he was getting booed by the end of his
run. I know.
Number seven. Edge spears Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, this wasn't just any spear. This was during the second, I believe, TLC match. The first was at SummerSlam 2000. This was at WrestleMania 17. So Jeff Hardy climbs a ladder,
yeah.
Is holding on to the tag titles. The ladder is removed from underneath him.
Yeah.
So he's hanging there. He's dangling.
Do you remember the Red Bull-sponsored Earth Drop?
Yeah.
This was akin to that.
Yeah.
He was so high up.
Yeah, he was like 12, 15 feet in the air.
In the air.
And Edge climbs up a ladder and then spears Hardy off the thing that the belts are hanging off of to the mat.
In terms of shocking moves, this is probably the most shocking WrestleMania move because they were so high up there.
I know.
And Edge and Jeff Hardy just...
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a fantastic sight that was. And
yeah,
use it every time, and every time there's any sort of ladder match or extreme rules match or anything like that, you'll always see this image.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in the some package, too, at some point.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, to start Raw.
Yeah, because, man, it was really something else. It's one of those, it was like this. And like Mankind at Hell in a Cell coming down. There are certain moves that you will always see that the WWE loves to put in every single package they do for whatever they're doing.
Yeah. Shane falling off something too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like that elbow he did off the top of the set that one time.
Right. Number six.
Six.
Ultimate Warrior pins Hulk Hogan. So, again, terrible. But we'll get to the actual pinfall in a second. These days, thanks largely to social media, you get a sense of expectations, what people think is going to happen. I don't remember. This was the first time Hogan was pinned in, I think, 9 years.
Okay.
I don't really know what the fan expectations were heading into this. I remember seeing the Hogan DVD or something where they talk about different superstars discuss it, and there I get the sense that people simply didn't know. You had a very odd situation where the Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior, was the biggest star in the company, getting the biggest reactions on the biggest win streak or whatever he was on, and then Hulk Hogan, face of the company, hadn't been pinned in 9 years or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He took down Andre. He took down Piper. Everybody.
Savage.
Savage, exactly. And this felt, I think, probably to some people like a potential torch passing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what the general wrestling fans' sort of expectations were at the time.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Trying to get a read on it, looking at the documentaries that WWE produced. It kind of feels like people were just sort of in two camps. Some people loved Warrior. Half the people loved Warrior. Half the people loved Hogan.
Yeah.
And they wanted their guy to win. But I don't think anybody really knew what to expect in this case.
Yeah. I mean, history had told us, especially looking back on it, that if Hogan's in a championship situation, guess what? Hogan wins.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Whereas Warrior was kind of new to all this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Warrior, Ultimate Warrior was, the wrestler on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not... I mean, we've seen plenty of times where the wrestler on the rise takes a leg drop and eats a pin to Hulk Hogan.
Exactly.
We just talked about it with the Bret Hart.
Right, exactly.
Instance. But in this case, it was Warrior who came out as the winner. And probably the best match these two were capable of putting on.
Yeah, no, it was the match itself was actually kind of decent.
It was all right. It was entertaining at moments.
It's it is what it is with these two guys.
Yeah.
But for them, it was like a 5-star match.
Mm-hmm.
And so the finish saw Warrior hoist Hulk Hogan. Here's the thing. I mean, sort of the joke about Warrior is that he was gassed by the time the bell rang because he would dart
sprint.
Full sprint to the ring and then run around it. And definitely by the end of this match, which I didn't see how long this match actually
lasted.
I think
it's lasted. Like 20 minutes.
Jeez.
I think it's pretty long.
20 minutes.
I think so.
So by the end of the match, Warrior's face face paint is all off, which is weird.
22 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's obscene. Is that the what's the longest? That's the longest by far.
The next longest is almost 12 minutes, and that's
so this is like
DiBiase versus Jake Roberts.
That's like double the time of the next longest match. So by the end of the match, Warrior's face paint is off, which is weird. So you just see Jim, and he's trying to. You can tell he's so gassed.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to press slam.
He's
Hogan.
Trying to press slam Hogan, and he barely gets out from under Hogan before he drops him. Hogan drops down. Warrior comes off the ropes. He gives him a Warrior splash. Onto the back of Hogan, barely rolls him over, goes for the pin. Hogan kicks out. Hogan does the hulking out thing. And right when he's going to try to hit the leg drop, you know, they go through the whole routine. He goes to hit the leg drop. Warrior rolls out of the way, springs up, hits the Warrior splash. 1, 2, 3, and he gets the pin. But Hogan basically kicks out at 3. Mm-hmm. At like 2.9, he kicks out. That's ridiculous.
It is.
And I always forget that before I watch it again. We went back and watched it just before we started recording this, and it's so ridiculous.
It is. Even in defeat, he can't just take it cleanly.
He can't just take it cleanly. Exactly. So, but, you know, the crowd, it was a massive reaction from mm-hmm. the crowd. This mm-hmm. is a huge moment. It was obvious that it was a huge moment. It felt like a passing of the torch moment. Was it actually that?
No.
Because the Warriors' reign was not that long-lived, and it was really wasn't that
wasn't memorable great. Either.
It was not memorable at all.
He kind of came and went several times, came back, defeated Triple H. And there was another shocking somewhat moment at WrestleMania 12 where he beat him in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
No soul to pedigree entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you know, he kind of fizzled in WWF, showed up for a little bit in WCW.
Mm-hmm. Till Hogan brought him back to get
Win back, essentially.
To get his win back, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, huge shocking moments in the history of WrestleMania, you can't really leave this one off the list.
Nope.
This is one of those things that would be interesting. You know, people often ask us, you know, if we could get one of those Ronda Rousey time machines going and go back. This is one of those moments that'd be interesting to, especially the build, get people like, how do you feel this is going to go? Oh, I don't know. I really love Hulk Hogan. Yeah, but how do you think they're going to book it? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Booking? This isn't real? No, they knew. They knew about
the
choreographed nature back then.
They?
Yes, they did.
I don't know, man. Maybe. Number five.
Five.
Sheamus beats Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds.
WrestleMania 28. Daniel Bryan walked into WrestleMania 28 as the World Heavyweight Champion. Sheamus, fresh off winning the Royal Rumble. This is when Daniel Bryan was healed. Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
managed by AJ Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this match.
Yep.
Bell rings. He turns to give AJ a kiss.
Yeah.
Turns around, eats a brogue kick.
Yeah.
Loses.
Yeah. Pretty lame. Pretty lame. Pretty shocking, but pretty lame. Yeah, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. You remember if Daniel Bryan, the original plan had CM Punk not walked out and then all those dominoes fell into place.
Yep.
He was supposed to fight Sheamus.
I know.
Instead of winning the championship, the Undisputed Championship. So they have kind of a weird history, a weird WrestleMania history. Because didn't they also have like a U.S. title match on the pre-show that they were both really bummed out about because they're on the pre-show? Something like that.
This is from a report from PW Insider back then. And apparently the rationale behind it was that WWE wanted to surprise everyone at WrestleMania 28 and do something that nobody was expecting.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why Sheamus won in 18 seconds.
Yeah. That's stupid. That's a bad reason to do anything. We just want to surprise people. That's not a good reason.
No.
Number four.
Four.
The NWO turns on Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 18.
Of course, this is following the Icon versus Icon match, Hogan versus The Rock.
Which in itself, I mean, the entirety of this match was fairly shocking to see, to understand that Vince didn't quite foresee the reaction that Hogan
would get, given that the magnitude of him returning to the WWE was what it was.
And then facing off against The Rock.
I'll never forget the first in-ring promo the NWO gave, where first Nash had the mic, then Hall had the mic, and then they passed it to Hogan, and the crowd really started freaking out, and they started, I don't know, chanting Welcome Back or Hulkamania or something like that. And you start to understand that this is not about the NWO. This is about Hulk Hogan, who was the face of the WWF for a very long time, returning to the WWF after, I mean, you have to call his WCW run a success for him.
Yeah. Not for the company, but it was definitely a windfall for Hulk Hogan.
For Hulk Hogan, exactly. And so he returns, and it's like, wait, we get Hogan back? There's this, it was almost as if there was this wave of realization throughout the crowd, like, it's not just the NWO, it's Hulk Hogan. And the NWO stuff sort of nobody cared about.
Oh, yeah, by that point, the NWO was like, as a property, was...
They had been run into the ground.
Garbage.
So exactly, it didn't matter. And so people got Hogan back. And so that set the stage. We got Hogan versus Rock. And then the reaction to that match, that is probably the craziest reaction ever in a match at WrestleMania, or maybe even in the WWF, or WWE rather. Because that crowd, you know, it was equal parts Rock Hogan.
It seemed like the crowd more or less, I don't know if it was a plan beforehand, it forced Vince's hand.
Yeah.
He had to turn Hogan face.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to.
And if I'm not mistaken, that decision to send at the end of the match Nash and Hall out there to beat down Hogan, that was a decision made at Gorilla.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken. Because he didn't expect Hogan to get all that face pop, basically.
Yeah.
What you got? You got anything?
Yeah, something from Hogan from Fighting Spirit magazine. Oh, close for maintenance.
Close for maintenance.
Hogan said that they were ad-libbing the match on the fly due to the crowd's response. So wow. Imagine a lot of that was probably just done in-ring.
Which is pretty crazy.
I know.
That is absolutely crazy.
But after the match, Hogan, Rock shake hands. Rock leaves. NWO comes out. And they beat down Hogan, and then The Rock comes back in, makes the save, and
then he hoists Hogan's hands, I think, at the ramp or something like that. So, that was, I mean, the entirety of that match and how the crowd just would not accept a heel Hogan is pretty stunning, is pretty crazy, and definitely shocking.
Shocking.
Number three. Seth Rollins cashes in at WrestleMania 31.
And it was indeed shocking.
I have a picture on my Instagram somewhere of you, me, and Hilton, and just shock faces galore. That crowd popped. And Seth Rollins has the perfect music.
Yeah.
For that.
The double bass.
Yeah, it just kicks in. And especially being there live and understanding just how massive that stage was, and you see Seth Rollins' name just pop up, and that, like you said, the double bass kicks in, and it was like all of a sudden the adrenaline starts rushing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's running down there, and we're all just thinking to ourselves, because we were huge Seth Rollins.
Yeah, yeah.
Still are. And he comes running down, and we're like, oh, my God, he's entering the lion's den,
basically.
Well,
it's not just that. It's not just the enormity of the moment, him being the first, the cash in Money to make at WrestleMania. It was a situation where we knew Lesnar walks in as champion. Reigns, no one liked. Even back then, no one liked him.
Even back then.
And so we were in this position where we have this part-timer, Brock, who is the WWE champion, who we know is not going to be around a whole lot, so that's kind of lame. But then also Reigns is here, and no one likes him.
Right.
So this is, you know, a rock and a hard place situation.
And we had there was no clue, nothing to
that
suggest.
This was gonna happen.
Rollins had just lost via a shocking RKO off his own curb stomp attempt.
Yeah. Yeah, in the second match of the card, I believe.
Yeah.
And then so we were like, okay, I remember the instance clearly. Both Reigns and Lesnar are down the mat. And I'm thinking to myself, how are they going to get themselves out of this situation? And not a second after that thought hit my head, double bass, Seth Rollins.
Man.
And I said, that's it.
Oh,
that's
man.
How they're getting themselves out of it.
I just remember like shoving the both of you.
And the pure euphoria of realizing
I know.
We have to deal with Champ Lesnar or Champ Reigns. We get Champ Rollins.
We get Champ Rollins, which is the best. Which is the absolute best. And then to see him up at the top of the ramp. Oh my God. That was, I still get chills thinking about that one, man. That was so good. Number two. Austin turns heel at WrestleMania 17, aligning with Vince McMahon. I would classify this one as a turd of a shocking moment. I remember at the time being so, number one, I was stunned. I was shocked. I did not see it coming. And when it happened and he shook hands with McMahon, I instantly thought to myself, and I know it's sort of cliche to say it now, but I instantly thought they just buried Stone Cold. All of a sudden, he looked so weak and crappy in my eyes, and he was like my favorite one. But I was like, this is everything that Stone Cold isn't, and there's no logical way they can explain this. And they never did. We got some plenty entertaining stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some comedy stuff. We got the two-man power trip, which some of that was kind of okay.
Well, you got the whole Stone Cold Kurt Angle stuff.
Yeah, we had that
stuff. And that was largely entertaining, but none of that, I think, was worth losing what Stone Cold was, you know? And it's kind of also a bummer because leading up to that moment, the match was outstanding.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
It was a fantastic match between Stone Cold and The Rock. And
it had been a fantastic WrestleMania 17. Yeah. A lot of people consider it one of the best ever. To me, it will always be sullied by that. And this is me personally speaking. It'll always be sullied by that ending. It felt so flat and bad and... Yeah, it's just...
And you hear Stone Cold talk about it, and he says, yeah, I just felt like, you know, Stone Cold, the character as it was, had kind of run its course, and he wanted to do something different, or proposed to him to do something different. And just thought, okay. But in hindsight, he realized, probably not the best idea.
Well, the funny thing is, too, it plays out, if you look at the ratings in that year...
Oh, yeah, they dive, yeah.
They plummeted. They absolutely plummeted. I mean, Rock was only a couple... They were both a couple years away from being gone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what we could have got out of those years as opposed to what we got from those years.
I mean, it would have been one thing for Stone Cold to turn heel, but to align with Vince...
It just didn't make,
any sense.
A lick of sense. And it just made him look really weak. And then after that, it just wasn't the same.
There was some really funny stuff, though. When he
some hilarious stuff. Like hugging.
Whenever Vince would ask him to channel the Stone Cold, you know, of before.
Yeah.
During the invasion stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
there was
some
funny stuff there.
But. Yeah, there was. When they had, like, Stone Cold Appreciation Day or whatever it was after the invasion or after he joined the Alliance. Yeah. I don't know. There was, look, Stone Cold Steve Austin is one of the most entertaining people ever to be in a ring in the WWE. And he could be sitting there reading a phone book and he'd make it entertaining.
Yeah.
That's the God's honest truth.
Yep.
But to come where to go from where he was as just the most compelling anti-authority figure. And then to land where he did in 2001, it was just as a fan, it was just so disappointing.
Yeah.
Number one, Brock Lesnar breaks the streak. I told you before we started rolling that I felt like this is the closest we'll ever get to our own modern day Bruno Sammartino drops the belt moment. The reaction, we just watched that again. We watched this, the reaction that this got when Brock delivered that F5 and count, and he got the three count. The reaction of that crowd, it would be really difficult to replicate that in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how much they had properly built Undertaker's streak.
Oh, yeah.
Once they got to whenever it was, and I think there still isn't really a definitive answer as to when they decided to make the streak a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But once they got probably 10 years into it and they realized, hey, he hasn't lost a WrestleMania, you know, or however many years it was. But, you know, and then to hear Triple H in like the Undertaker DVD say
that the streak should never be broken.
It should never be broken. I kind of remember seeing that, and when we used it to maybe this was weird during the Tree of Woe days.
Yeah, it might have been.
Were we doing this during the Tree of Woe days?
Well, it's 30. That's 4 years ago. So it's been 2014.
Were we still doing Tree of Woe then?
No, we started doing this in September of 2014, right?
Okay.
I remember watching it out there in your your living room out there.
Maybe it was just my general thoughts. Maybe it wasn't on record, but I remember hearing Triple H say, you know, that it should never be broken. I was thinking to myself, well, that dude basically like is about
guaranteed.
To,
yeah, I know.
He's about to run the company. So what he says is kind of going to go. And then so to see that happen and then to see the crowd's reaction to that was absolutely like people first cheered because the match was over, but then the realization set in, and Brock's reaction, especially Paul Heyman's reaction, like both of their reactions were like, hey, we just you know, robbed the bank. We just pulled off the biggest heist of all time.
I know. Heyman goes up to Brock and just starts screaming at him, you did it. You broke the streak.
Exactly. And so, that's great. Will WrestleMania suck? Was that for 32?
That's for 31.
That's for 31? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It didn't suck.
No,
incidentally.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because you almost didn't go to that one, too.
I know. I almost didn't go to that one. I'm really glad I did. But yeah, the crowd reaction. Then you start hearing boos. You hear noise.
Yeah, but you don't know exactly. I think it's a mixture of cheers and boos and shock. And
gasping, talking, a lot of talking.
A lot of people with this face.
Yeah. There was no, you know, sometimes these days it feels like they have to manufacture the reaction that they want, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there
like,
was no manufacturing.
Pick and choose some faces.
No manufacturing that.
They could have had a camera on every single person in that arena, and they're like, it was utter confusion. And it's because there are certain things that just feel real. When Bruno had the title for, 8 years?
Mm-hmm, and dropped it to Ivan Koloff.
That probably, I'm speculating, at the time, felt as real as you can get with a predetermined sport, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, you get Bruno not losing for 8 years, Undertaker never losing at Mania. It seems like a formality, the match itself.
Yeah,
like a
exactly.
Formality. Okay,
yeah.
Well, you know, they'll get 15 minutes, and then the Undertaker will hit a couple tombstones, and Brock will lose.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next match.
Yeah, and then maybe next month Brock will win, and they'll do some stuff.
Yeah.
But it's Mania. Undertaker doesn't lose Mania. It doesn't happen. And then it did, and I do think that there is a parallel there, the kind of stuff that it's like, man, I honestly didn't think that could happen. Mm-hmm. I did not think that could ever happen. So I can't. I just don't believe there's a more shocking WrestleMania moment. That might be the most shocking moment in the history of WWF in terms of like stories and stuff. So yeah. Anyways, there's our most shocking moments.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoy WrestleMania tomorrow. We'll be live streaming. We're gonna do the kickoff show on Twitch where we're gonna be playing some video game. I think we're gonna be doing the
Minoru Suzuki Challenge.
The first annual Minoru Suzuki Challenge.
Or I'm going to play with Minoru Suzuki in Virtual Pro Wrestling.
And I'm going to try to beat Minoru Suzuki.
Which you have not been able to
do yet. I have not done. Maybe I should. Dang it, I can't create growth hormones.
No.
In that. What a bummer.
I'm upset that we can't play Minoru Suzuki's theme for the entirety of that pre-show while I defeat you for 2 hours.
I'm not sad about that, to be honest with you.
It's a great theme.
Totally happy you can't do that. Anyways, that's it for the show. Oh, and then, of course, the Mania card itself. We're going to be doing our live reactions to that.
On our YouTube channel
right here where you're watching this, if you're watching this. Till then, so that's it for the show. Till then, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.